Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A Johnston County man faces nearly a dozen charges in connection with a deadly crash on I-40. What we've learned about the person killed and the man State Highway Patrol says was behind the wheel.
Plus, a new bill banning most abortions after 12 weeks is fast-tracked through the state legislature. The legal move that allowed Republican lawmakers to bypass some procedures.
Also, investigators say a teenager gunned down 9 people, including 8 children, at a school in Serbia this morning. What we're learning about that massacre. A construction worker was killed on I-40 after a driver plowed into a work zone near Jones Sausage Road exit. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. The crash happened around 3 this morning and tied up traffic throughout the morning commute. Troopers say this man, 20-year-old Jason Marika Guillen, ran from the scene but was quickly captured. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan joins us live with what she's learned about him and the construction worker he's accused of killing. Chelsea.
Yeah, Renee, this is the area where that accident occurred. You can see these 3 lanes of I-40 near exit 303 at Jones Sausage Road are still blocked off. They have been throughout the course of the morning. The S.W. Wooten Company has been contracted by the DOT to widen I-40. That company, with headquarters in Wilson, lost one of their own this morning. Now, around 3 a.m. this morning, an SUV driven by 20-year-old Jason Marika Guillen was driving drunk and plowed his car into an active work zone, crashing into equipment and actually hitting and killing a construction worker. The driver actually got out of his car after that crash and ran into the woods, where he then was arrested, according to the Highway Patrol. This is the driver. He faces a long list of charges, including felony death by motor vehicle, DWI, failing to move over, driving without a license, and resisting an officer. He is in jail right now under $1 million bond. And let's show you the victim who was struck and killed. 33-year-old C.J. Bryant. He was an asphalt superintendent with the S.T. Wooten Company, who is doing that contract work here. He had worked for this company for the past 6 years. We should mention he leaves behind a fiance of 16 years as well as 4 children. Now, normally, these lanes here along I-40 would be open, but right now the S.W. Wooten Corporation is continuing to sort of get their thoughts together through this tragedy and continue their own investigation. I am told by the communications specialist for that company that these lanes will reopen just as soon as possible. But certainly a tragedy here along I-40 this morning.
It is absolutely heartbreaking. Chelsea Donovan, live at I-40. You can always be in the know about traffic alerts during your drive by listening to WRAL News on your radio. You can listen anytime on 99.3 in Raleigh, 96.5 in Durham, and 101.5 HD3 across the Triangle.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, the FBI is offering a $50,000 reward for Alder Alfonso Maureen Sotelo, the man accused of murdering Wake County Deputy Ned Byrd. The search continues for him this afternoon. We have video of the most recent photos of him from a video jail call within hours of his escape from the Piedmont Regional Jail in Farmville, Virginia. The FBI says he is considered extremely dangerous. This car is an early 2000s red or burgundy Ford Mustang. It has a 30-day North Carolina temporary tag on it. If you have any information on where he is, the FBI urges you to call them. Again, a $50,000 reward being offered this afternoon to find him.
A new 12-week abortion ban in North Carolina will be voted on today. The bill makes exceptions for rape, incest, the life of the mother, and fatal defect. It passed a committee this morning along party lines, with Democrats voting against it. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live at the legislative building with where that debate is right now. Laura?
Jeff, you know, this bill would effectively, this bill, by the way, it was 46 pages long, but it was only released to the public late last night. And it's already scheduled for a vote in the House this afternoon, less than 24 hours after it was put out to the public and after only one public hearing. That was this morning. The bill would effectively ban Medicaid abortion, we learned today, at 10 weeks, not 12 weeks. And patients would be required to make 3 trips to an abortion clinic to complete one. Well, that'll make it difficult for women from other states to come to North Carolina to get an abortion. It would also include extensive new regulations on abortion clinics that may force some to close. And it requires doctors who perform abortions to submit new reporting to the state and to get signed attestations from every patient. Bill sponsor Senator Joyce Kravitz says it also includes $160 million in additional funding for birth control, adoptions, and foster care.
Many of these opportunities for moms in this bill will make it easier for her to make that decision to keep her baby. Babies are not burdens. They are a joy. They are a gift.
And we have 1,400 medical professionals across the state that have signed that they do not want these legislative bans in North Carolina. So please respect the medical profession. Vote no on this bill. Thank you.
That was Dr. Erica Pettigrew. She was one of a long list of medical doctors and OBGYNs who spoke out against the bill in committee this morning. They say the bill is medically unnecessary, interferes with the medical care they provide to patients, and puts up new roadblocks that will make it more difficult for women who want an abortion to get one. Now, Republican lawmakers fast-tracked this bill by putting it into another bill that had already passed both chambers. So it only needs to get one vote in the House and one vote in the Senate. That House vote is scheduled for this afternoon. Governor Roy Cooper has already said he'll veto it. Jeff?
They spoke out about that overnight. Laura Lesser, live at the Legislative Building. Thank you.
Rallies will take place today as groups express concerns over the abortion proposal. Progress NC Action will be at Raleigh's Bicentennial Plaza at 1 p.m. A second rally is scheduled for this evening at 5 at the State of Beer in Raleigh. Our NC Capitol team is closely following this legislation. You can read what's in the full bill, reaction to it, and what's next on WRAL.com.
A woman was seriously hurt after a shooting at an apartment complex in Durham. It happened this morning around 1:30 on Briar Rose Lane. Michael Grace is there in the WRL Breaking News Tracker with what he was able to find out.
Yeah, well, we know that the apartment right behind me was shot at least 5 times. Take a look at this video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. This is the back door of that apartment. Some of those bullets hitting the trimming below the window, others even going through that window. Another thing you'll notice is at least 3 of those shots hit the plasma screen TV that you see right there. And police left the scene here at the Briar Green apartment homes at around 6:30, but this is still an ongoing investigation. One thing we're still asking police is if they know who the shooter is at this time, and we're also working to get more updates on that woman's condition. In Durham, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
We're working to learn more about another early morning shooting, this one in Raleigh, that seriously injured a man. It happened near a BP gas station on Capitol Boulevard and Westinghouse Boulevard around 2 this morning. The injured man is being treated at the hospital with serious injuries, and we are working to find out if police have anyone in custody out of this and what led up to that shooting.
A community in Belgrade, Serbia, in shock this noon hour following a mass shooting at a school. What's more disturbing, the suspect is 14 years old. Authorities say he planned the attack. WRL's Ken Smith joins us now with new information on this developing story. Ken.
Renee, in a briefing since our morning news, the police chief in Belgrade says the 14-year-old suspect had the names of specific classmates he was targeting and their classes. Authorities confirmed 8 students and a security guard died in that mass shooting. A teacher and 6 of her students are hospitalized, some with life-threatening injuries, which means the death toll could go up. The chief says the 14-year-old used 2 handguns that belonged to his father. He also had a couple of Molotov cocktails. From what investigators were able to piece together so far, the 14-year-old walked into the school, first opening fire on the security guard and some students in the hallway. He then went into a history class and shot the teacher and 6 of her students. Again, they are hospitalized with very serious injuries. The 14-year-old is in custody, and police say he confessed to the attack. No word yet on a motive. Well, teachers and students police spoke with described this 14-year-old as a quiet student and a good student. The education minister in that district declaring 3 days of mourning, Renee.
And unlike in our country, mass shootings are rare in Serbia. And to have it happen at a school, just horrific. Ken, thank you. Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky is responding to accusations that his country tried to kill Russia's President Vladimir Putin. Moscow claims Ukraine flew two drones toward the Kremlin overnight to assassinate Putin and that its military disabled the drones. A Russian spokesman says Putin was not in the building at the time. Ukraine says it had no knowledge of any attempted drone strike on the Kremlin and that the accusation was better directed at Russia.
A former FBI special agent faces charges related to the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. Jared Wise is charged with illegally entering and remaining in the Capitol building. Investigators say Wise confronted officers and encouraged other rioters who attacked law enforcement. Justice Department has charged more than 1,000 people in the attack on the Capitol, including several active or former members of law enforcement. We're getting more insight into the decision by Fox News to fire Tucker Carlson. A report in the New York Times claims Carlson made a racist comment in a text to a producer in January of 2021. The message was discovered as part of the Dominion Voting System's defamation lawsuit against Fox. Carlson reportedly messaged the producer that he watched a video of a group of supporters of former President Donald Trump beating an Antifa kid. Carlson texted it was not how white men fight, but he still found himself rooting for the mob to kill the person. Fox fired the host more than 2 years after the text.
The Carolina Hurricanes will face the New Jersey Devils tonight in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Canes are 3-1 all time against them. Their playoff history with the Devils runs deep and has helped shape the franchise. Head coach Rod Brendamore knows the Devils well. He's been there for all five of the playoff meetings, scoring 6 goals against the Devils in his postseason career, 4 of those with the Canes. Puck drops at 7 for Game 1 at PNC Arena. Game 2 will be Friday, also at PNC. The puck drops at 8 p.m. Game 3 will be Sunday, May 7th at 3:30 in the afternoon. That one will be in New Jersey. And Game 4 is on Tuesday, May 9th, 7 p.m., also in New Jersey. The latest the series will go is Monday, May 15th. That's when a Game 7 would happen if necessary.
Beginning July 1st, student athletes at some North Carolina high schools will be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. This morning, the NC High School Athletic Association Board of Directors voted to approve the policy for more than 180,000 students. Before athletes can strike a deal with a company, they must go through an education course about NIL. Schools and coaches would not be allowed to facilitate those NIL deals.
Next at noon, a special 5K run and walk is happening next month. We'll talk live with an organizer about the Friends of Oberlin Village race.
Also talk of an airline pilot strike during the summer travel months, how the government could step in to keep planes in the air.
Plus, a manhunt in Texas is over with an accused killer in custody. Where law enforcement found the fugitive. Elizabeth.
Take a look at our high-resolution satellite. The black areas are where skies are clear, and yep, these are clouds getting ready to swing through our viewing area. I'll show you who has the chance of seeing a few light showers this afternoon.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are following reports of a police-involved chase in Selma. It all started as a traffic stop earlier this morning. We do have video from Sky 5 that was over the scene, as well as camera crews on the ground as well. The officer stopped a vehicle for speeding, and after he approached the car and spoke to the driver took off, dragging the officer for a moment. That's when the pursuit started. The suspect vehicle ended up hitting another car at the intersection of Robertson Street and U.S. 70. And then the suspect vehicle rolled over approximately 8 times. The driver in that vehicle was taken to the hospital for observation, and the driver in the other vehicle was treated at the scene. The police officer in this is okay.
Thanks, Michelle. Get ready for the second annual Oberlin Village Heritage 5K Run and Walk hosted by the Friends of Oberlin Village. The event takes place Saturday, June 17th, which is Juneteenth weekend. It is at Wake Med Soccer Park, and WRL is a proud community partner. Joining us to talk about the mission is Heather Doyle. Heather, welcome. Appreciate your time here. Some folks may have moved into the area. We get a lot of new people around here. They may not be aware of the history of your race. Share a little bit of that, please.
Well, the race is a 5K walk and run event that's open to the community, held on June 17th at the Wake Med Soccer Park. It's being operated and sponsored by Friends of Oberlin Village, who is a nonprofit organization that was founded in 2011. We're completely volunteer-based and rooted out of residents and concerned citizens who wanted to preserve the physical presence of Oberlin Village and its history. We have been involved in various initiatives to achieve that mission over the last 12 years, and one of the most popular is Leading Walking Tours of Oberlin Village, which you can sign up for on our website.
Heather, there's lots of weekends in the spring and summer that you could have chosen for the event. You chose Juneteenth weekend. What's the meaning behind that?
Well, because this is Juneteenth weekend, we wanted a broader celebration to encompass that. And as part of our post-race activities, we plan to have a marketplace featuring Black-owned businesses from around the Triangle, as well as nonprofit organizations from around the community. Our post-race activities really are an opportunity for attendees to financially support local businesses and learn more about how they can support community nonprofits. And we'll also host a pop-up museum with community partners in attendance, as well as a Friends of Oberlin Village booth, each of which will be sharing more about the history of Oberlin Village.
Now, last year was the first year, so a lot of folks make big strides between year one and two, want to make changes and make it better, but you got it so right the first year, you didn't have to make a bunch of changes. What sets this event apart?
Well, this event is now being held at the Wake Med Soccer Park, but really is about having that ability to interact and meet with those Black-owned business owners and community nonprofits. Like we said, it's being held on Juneteenth weekend, and so this will be a big celebration for that.
How many folks do you expect to participate?
We're expecting about 700 runners and walkers to be in attendance there.
You have a swag bag? What do they get?
Well, registered adults will receive a t-shirt and a medal, and registered kids ages 8 years and younger will also receive a medal for participation.
All right. Very good. Heather, thank you so much for your time. I want to remind folks once again that it is the Village Oberlin Village Heritage 5K Run and Walk hosted by the Friends of Oberlin Village. It is Saturday, June 17th, Wake Med Soccer Park. WRL, a proud community partner of that. Heather Doyle, appreciate the time. Good luck with the event.
Thank you so much.
Now this weekend, you can join us to help raise awareness and fight breast cancer. WRL is a proud sponsor of the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. It kicks off Saturday at 9 a.m. at Research Triangle Park. And our team of meteorologists closely watching the weather for this weekend because of all the big events happening. But first, let's talk about this windy Wednesday, Elizabeth.
Today should be the last day that we have winds that are this strong. So, you know, it's always fun to start with the whirligigs. And they're actually not moving too quickly, but we are already seeing some gusts up to around 30 miles per hour in a few places. Notice the cloud cover. It wasn't quite this cloudy this time yesterday, but we are seeing more clouds out there right now. Temperatures have warmed up to 63 degrees, but it is likely to stay very close to this for the remainder of the afternoon as we see more clouds building in. Let's take another look at this high-resolution satellite that I showed you a glimpse of earlier. You can see the clouds here. The black areas are where skies are clear, but we have this darker band of clouds here, or I should say brighter band of clouds, so getting ready to move in across the triangle area, and that's where we could see a few isolated showers. We'll pull up the dual Doppler 5000 radar. There's nothing showing up on the radar right now, but Futurecast does show that potential. Here's what's going on. We have a low-pressure system that's spinning over here across parts of the northeast, and like a pinwheel, little pieces of energy are rotating around it. And so that's what we're seeing right now. I'll tell you what, I've had so much fun watching the ski cameras from West Virginia where it is dumping snow right now in May. It's like we've lived out west or something. But we are looking at some showers that are up into Virginia right now. And again, that potential to see some of that around here as we head through the afternoon. You can see by 1230, 1245 in our northeastern counties, a little isolated shower pops up. It moves on by. We'll see sunshine through the afternoon. And there could be another little band of clouds that comes in around dinner time or just after that could bring us another sprinkle. It's definitely windy out there. We're seeing a steady wind out of the northwest at about 10 to 15, a little bit higher in some spots. We're at 20 21 in Fayetteville, 19 in Rocky Mount. And then the gusts are on the right side in the white box. We're gusting to 28 in Durham and Raleigh, gusting to 30 in Rocky Mount and 25 in Clinton. So it is another blustery afternoon for us. We'll see those winds starting to die down after sunset, but between now and then, we'll see those gusts at 25 to 30. Expect a high of 66 in Raleigh, 65 in Durham, 69 in Fayetteville, with clouds coming and going. I really feel like at 5 o'clock, the weather's going to be pretty good. It'll still be blustery, but temperatures will be in the mid-60s. We'll see some sunshine for tailgating for the Hurricanes game at 10 o'clock, 54 degrees. Our highs will stay below normal for the next 5 days. Normal is 77, so we're looking at 60s, low to mid-70s, depending on the day. Of course, so we're also proud sponsors of the Ham and Yam Festival there in Smithfield. That is Saturday, and Saturday we're still looking at the chance for some scattered showers, but the amount of rain looks a little lighter than it did yesterday, and we're going to walk through that potential for rain on Saturday coming up in just a little while. We, of course, have Susan G. Komen race for the cure on Saturday, and we'll be talking more about the timeline for Saturday's rain and how much we could see on Sunday, too. Ninth weekend in a row with rain in the forecast. Ugh.
It's a pattern we need to break, Elizabeth.
It is. All right. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Today at 4, community members in Granville are rallying after their church was vandalized. What we're learning from investigators, plus the historic significance behind the church built more than 180 years ago. Then at 5.
Maybe you want to upgrade from gas to electric, or your lawnmower is just not waking up from that winter hibernation. Coming up, 5 on Your Side shares the top things to buy right now to make your lawn a little prettier.
Meantime, still ahead this noon, Gen Z is taking it back to the telephone classics. Ahead, we'll share why some young people prefer to flip back their smartphones.
And some of the everyday products you use could be harmful to your health. Still ahead in this newscast, we'll tell you how toxic some materials are in your home.
That's a live look. Clouds over RDU International Airport this noon as you watch WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Passengers flying American or Southwest Airlines won't be affected by a planned airline strike this summer. American Airlines pilots voted to strike, and Southwest Airlines pilots could do the same. But despite that effort, union members would not be allowed to go on strike anytime soon. Under a federal labor law, the president can intervene while suggestions on how to reach a deal are made. Airline employees can be required to work for months-long periods of time if negotiations are not successful. JetBlue is taking non-alcoholic beer to the sky. The flight carrier has collaborated with Athletic Brewing Company to be the first major U.S. airline to offer non-alcoholic beer. Now, the beverage is known as Upside Down, and it'll be available on flights starting this month. JetBlue says the new drink option is part of the company's effort to accommodate all flyers' needs.
Twitter announced it will allow public institutions from vital services to post automated tweets for free. The social media giant says transit agencies and the National Weather Service will not be charged for their use. It also includes verified government or publicly owned accounts. It's another sudden pivot in attempts to charge institutions for using its platform.
Gen Zers are ditching the smartphone and going old school with flip phones. A report from the Wall Street Journal sheds light on the new wave of young adults using flip phones. For those in Gen Z, smartphones have become a distraction. The use of the flip phones is a cheaper alternative to smartphones. It provides the basic functions of text and calling and takes away all the unnecessary scrolling.
The hunt for a man accused of killing 5 people in Texas is over. Where authorities found him and who else faces charges.
Plus, a bipartisan effort to protect kids online is back before lawmakers on Capitol Hill. Why senators say this isn't a Republican or Democratic issue. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Republican lawmakers' new effort to restrict abortion access in North Carolina comes after months of private discussions and political wrangling. The current law bans most abortions after the 20th week of pregnancy. This new bill would move the ban to anything after the 12th week, with a handful of exceptions. WRL State Government reporter Paul Spey joins us now. And Paul, how did lawmakers arrive at this particular proposal?
Well, this is a compromise bill. If Republicans are going to pass something like this, they're going to need every single vote. And they'll need to override Cooper to get this bill enacted into law. And to do that, they got people involved in private meetings to discuss where are people comfortable, because so many of them fall on different ends of the spectrum. Now, the Senate leader has said he supported a ban after the first trimester with some exceptions. The House Speaker said he wanted something around 6 weeks. Other members have said they want a full ban, and some wanted to keep the law as is. There's even one Republican who just earlier this year introduced a bill to expand abortion access. She's a Republican now. Mm-hmm. And her name is Trisha Cotham, who was a Democrat to start this session. So it's all been very interesting to watch.
Now, we didn't see Cotham at last night's news conference. Do we know whether she supports this bill?
We have not heard her exact take on this bill. She hasn't responded to our calls or texts or other requests for comment. But the bill sponsors said they wouldn't have brought this bill forward if they didn't have full agreement with every Republican in their caucus. So on paper, that means Cotham, too. As for her absence from last night's announcement, I'm told that was intentional so she wouldn't distract from the bill itself. Obviously, her party switch gets a lot of attention, is intriguing. They didn't want those questions getting in last night.
So this abortion bill, though, it's very likely to pass, isn't it?
Right. I'll be surprised if it doesn't pass, to be honest. We expect it to pass and certainly become a big issue in the race for governor in 2024. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, who's running in that race, has referred to abortion as murder and called for a ban starting around the sixth week of pregnancy. He hasn't commented on this bill specifically. But Democrats will certainly campaign on the idea that if Republicans win the governor's mansion or get more seats in the legislature, they could pass even tighter restrictions. And Democratic Attorney General Josh Stein alluded to that in a tweet last night. He's running for governor, too, and said the stakes just got higher.
Well, this is certainly a hot button issue that will motivate voters to the ballot box. We know your team will be covering this from every angle. We appreciate your insights, Paul. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And for more coverage of the abortion bill and what it contains, visit nccapital.com. Paul, thanks.
Thank you.
We're getting our first look at video of the arrest of a man who police say shot and killed five people in Texas, including a child. There he is being led away. An anonymous tip led police to Francisco Oropeza. Now, officials say at least four others have also been arrested, including his wife. NBC Sam Brock reports Oropeza was found just a few minutes from the scene of the crime.
The man accused of murdering five people, including a nine-year-old child, is currently sitting behind bars right now awaiting a $5 million bond hearing as this community is just trying to come to terms with what is apparently now the end of a four-day-long sprawling manhunt that took authorities all over the area. Originally, there were thoughts that he could be in another part of Texas or even in Mexico, but it turns out that Francisco Oropeza was about 15 minutes away at a private residence in Cut and Shoot, Texas. Now, it was an FBI tip that allowed authorities to get there in the first place, where they found him hiding in a closet, according to the sheriff, underneath clothing. Now, there are new developments this morning as well. We're learning about multiple arrests, no more than five, but at least several, according to the deputy sheriff here, potentially linked to those who were aiding and abetting Oropeza as he was on the run. It turns out that earlier in the week, what we're told was a false alarm with a flooding of resources going for a spotting of the suspect that actually was confirmed to be him. Now, we're told that he was not in this private residence the entire time, but ultimately did obtain another cell phone and was using that to contact people, and perhaps that contributed to how authorities were able to trace him back to this house. Lastly, there were so many questions about how long it took local police to respond to the massacre in the first place. Some of the survivors saying it was 20 or 30 minutes after they were calling 911 repeatedly. What the deputy sheriff said here today is that the infrastructure in that area, and particularly the roads, is incredibly poor, and that they had to divert deputies from an aggravated robbery just to get to that scene in a neighborhood where there is gunfire, we are told, every single night, only to discover the worst possible scenario. That is the latest in Cold Spring. I'm Sam Brock, NBC News. Back to you.
During the pandemic, drug overdoses rose to record levels. That's according to a new report by the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The data shows that the rise of fentanyl is connected to drug overdose deaths across the country. Fentanyl is 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine. It was the most common drug in overdoses across all ages and genders. Nearly 70,000 people died from fentanyl in 2021. Close to 300 people have been arrested in a global dark web drug operation. Police have seized more than $53 million in cryptocurrency. The investigations were part of a global crackdown on drug trafficking. Law enforcement are saying this is the first of its kind. Most of the arrests took place in the U.S.
Shaw University will have another month to address concerns with its redevelopment plan. Last night, a crowd showed up to share their opinions on Shaw's proposal for buildings that are 20 and 30 stories tall. Shaw University leaders call the redevelopment plan an opportunity to update the campus, the amenities, and attract more students. Others are concerned the rezoning will erase part of the campus history and create massive amounts of debts for the university. Muslim leaders are also concerned the university's rezoning proposal will eliminate the campus mosque, which the public says they currently have no access to. The future of the mosque must be decided by the university. Shaw will come back to council on June 20th with more of a finalized plan. Wake County School Board has appointed Randy Bridges to take over the state's largest school system on an interim basis. He starts July 1st. Bridges served as the superintendent of Orange County Schools and Alamance Burlington Schools. Current superintendent Caddy Moore will retire at the end of the school year. The school board is still trying to find a permanent replacement. The board will meet later this month to discuss applicants.
Trying to slim down for the summer? Don't skip meals. Why that's a setup for failure and what research shows can set you up for success.
Plus, products you use every day in your home could be emitting toxic chemicals. How they can be harmful to your health. That story's next. Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Cumberland and Sampson counties. Sampson County begins implementing new four-way stops in an effort to keep people safer on the roads. Work is underway at the NC 55 and Warren Mill Road intersection. You'll begin to see pavement markings and stop signs go up in four other locations as well during the next several weeks. Starting May 15th, crews will make changes to NC 242 and Harnett Church Road and Rabbit Street intersection. Fort Bragg Fair returns to the installation's fairgrounds. It's one of the largest events bringing together our service members, their families, surrounding community members as well. The public is invited to enjoy those carnival rides, games, entertainment, food, and more. The price of admission includes unlimited rides and entertainment.
Taking diet pills and skipping meals are not effective ways to lose weight. Researchers studied more than 20,000 people for a year. More than 17,000 of them reported maintaining or gaining weight. Many of those didn't have significant weight loss, and they were dieting by ineffective ways, including taking laxatives, smoking, and vomiting. A new study finds many common household products release toxic chemicals that can affect your health. Researchers sampled 33 different products that contain toxic compounds. They found the same toxins emitted into homes can lead to birth defects, cancer, and other reproductive harm. Research shows formaldehyde found in shampoo, makeup, and nail polish was the most common harmful chemical.
Right now, we'll give you a live look in Southern Pines, Longleaf Golf and Family Club right there. Cloudy, like it is in much of the triangle as well, all the way to the Sandhills. Cool and breezy this afternoon. Elizabeth Gardner will be back with the forecast and talk about a few of you about to get some showers.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are getting our first look at police body cam video from an officer-involved shooting that happened near Ligon Middle School back on March 27th. This all happened near Cumberland Street at Rock Quarry Road. It was 2 minutes from Ligon's campus. Police released a total of five clips from officer-worn cameras as well as dash cameras. You can actually hear gunshots in these videos and see officers ducking down. This is video of them searching for the suspect. Listen to what they had to say when they came in contact with the shooter.
Suspect is actively firing at us. We have no line of sight. Shots fired. Suspect is down. I need EMS 1018, K9 15.
Again, police released about five clips total. The shooter, Jorge Luis Vega Lezama, was killed in this. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Joe Fisher will have more.
Michelle, thanks. Two U.S. senators have reintroduced legislation that would require websites to have stricter settings for children. This is to protect younger users on social media sites. Aisha Hosni is on Capitol Hill with more.
David Molak was just 16 years old when he took his own life, a victim of relentless cyberbullying his mom says run rampant on social media.
They were targeting his appearance, threatened him, and told him he should never go back to school, put him in a body bag, put him 6 feet under.
His story is one of the many reasons why Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn and Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal are putting politics aside and reintroducing their Kids Online Safety Act, or COSA, to give parents more control over what their kids see.
This is how they're meeting drug dealers. It's how they're learning about how to commit suicide and music to commit suicide to.
The bill requires social media platforms to default to stricter settings for users 17 and under. It would also let parents disable features that are addictive and opt out of recommendations made by powerful algorithms.
This idea is not red or blue. It's not Republican or Democrat. There's no red or blue algorithm driving toxic content.
But the pair face pushback. Last year, about 100 advocacy groups sent a letter to Senate leader Chuck Schumer opposing the bill, claiming it could limit a child's access to sex education or resources for LGBTQ plus youth. But Blumenthal says he and Blackburn have updated the bill, limiting potential harmful content to substance abuse, suicide, and eating disorders.
The ACLU is still not happy with the bill. Chuck Schumer was asked if he would support this piece of legislation, and he would only say that he would want to see some kind of child protections in an online bill.
Lanes will close overnight along sections of Wade Avenue for the next few months. State DOT crews are resurfacing a big section of the road between Ridge Road and Capitol Boulevard. The improvement will be welcomed by drivers, you can bet. But in the meantime, there will be some travel headaches. Work will continue over the next few months. The overnight closures run from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. weekdays. And at some point, a stretch of that section of Wade Avenue will have to be completely closed. We will give you a heads up before that happens. More overnight closures will begin this week on a busy part of I-40 in Orange County. We're talking about the I-85-I-40 split near Hillsboro. Starting Thursday night, crews will close the right lane as part of the I-40 widening project. That closure will last from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. Friday. Of course, all that is weather permitting, as usual.
Speaking of the weather, at this noon hour, a lot of cloud cover out there and also some breezy conditions. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with why we won't be seeing 70 degrees today.
Lots of cloud cover and a wind coming out of the northwest is the reason that our temperatures will not be as warm as they were yesterday. You can see a good bit of cloud cover now on the cameras, more so than when we checked in about half an hour ago. You can see the trees really moving around there. In Goldsboro, we have winds that are gusting right now, 25 to 30 miles per hour. A lot of cloud cover here. You can see some waves there at Lake Gaston as we take a look from the Point Restaurant. At Chapel Hill is courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and you can see an apex, a good bit of cloud cover there, and the trees moving around. So it's a very unsettled afternoon that we'll see. We also have the chance of seeing a few isolated showers. We really haven't seen much of that popping up, but over here in Northampton County, we're beginning to see a few little cells popping up there, just a few light showers, not looking at any thunderstorms. Much of what we should see this afternoon will be north and east of the triangle, and it will be very little, but certainly worth a mention. We have the low pressure system that is moving up toward New England, rotating around it. We have a disturbance that's swinging through, and again, that's what's helping to bring us an isolated shower this afternoon. You can see a little bit of that pops up between now and about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then this band of clouds moves out. We'll see sunshine through the evening commute, and then again, fairly late, around 8, 9 o'clock, we could see see another isolated shower with another quick little tiny disturbance that moves through. The next thing that we're watching is Saturday. The amounts of rain have started to lighten up a little bit, and the entire thing has shifted a little bit farther to the south, and that means parts of the viewing area don't look as wet as they did yesterday. So here's Friday at 5 o'clock, looking at cloudy skies. Here comes the rain sweeping in from the west, but notice what happens at 8 a.m. We're mostly dry, so it arrives a little later and starts to take that dive into South Carolina a little quicker. So at lunchtime, not a whole lot of rain across our viewing area, but during the afternoon, we see rain from, say, the Triangle area southward and westward, maybe a little rumble of thunder, but this doesn't look like a big severe weather event. On Sunday, enough lingering moisture for maybe an isolated shower. We added about a 20% chance to Sunday, so it does look like a bit of an unsettled weekend, but there may be parts of the viewing area that don't see a whole lot of rain. Tomorrow, we get our first look at the high-resolution models for Saturday. We'll be sharing those with you as soon as we can get our hands on those tomorrow. That'll help us to fine-tune the timing of the rain for Saturday. It has the potential to have some effect on the Race for the Cure. Of course, we are proud sponsors of the race, but it may be, you know, closer to lunchtime before we see a whole lot of that rain in the Triangle area, and that would mean much of the race will be dry. It'll be cool. Runners like it cool. Temperatures will be in the mid-50s. This is a brand-new pollen forecast. It just came out a couple of hours ago. High for trees. The change was grasses went from low to moderate. And we should start to see the grasses climbing and the trees falling, but we're still seeing high pollen counts for trees. It'll be cool on Saturday at 64 with the cloudy skies and that chance of rain, but we warm up to 80 degrees by next Tuesday. Elizabeth, thanks. This dog got too ahead of itself. Coming up, we'll tell you why firefighters were called to rescue Gracie.
Meantime, before we go to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. A construction worker is dead after a driver plowed into a work zone near Jones Sausage Road exit on I-40. The crash happened around 3 o'clock this morning. C.J. Bryant was killed while he was working in that area. The driver of the SUV, Jason Mercia Guillen, faces several felonies. Troopers believe speed and alcohol were involved.
A new 12-week abortion ban in North Carolina will be voted on today. The bill makes exceptions for rape, incest, the life of the mother, and fetal defects. It passed a committee this morning on party lines, with Democrats voting against it. The House vote will happen this afternoon. Governor Roy Cooper has already said he'll veto it.
In the last hour, Raleigh police released new body camera video from the day they shot and killed a man who they say shot at people near Raleigh Middle School. The police say Jorge Vega-Lasama shot at multiple officers near Ligon Middle School. In the video, you can hear the gunshots and officers saying the suspect is shooting. The videos also show officers pointing guns at the suspect, who's blurred out and not moving on the ground after he was shot.
Community members in Granville are rallying after their church was vandalized. Today at 4, what we're learning from investigators, as well as the historic significance behind the church built more than 180 years ago.
Well, this story will have you keeping your dog a little closer to you on your next walk. During their walk, Gracie saw something, like dogs do, somehow ran off, ended up with her head stuck in the tree. Firefighters were called and decided to be gentle with her. They used some hand tools and were carefully able to extract her head out of that hole. Gracie's owners say she is doing fine.
Good work by those firefighters. Mm-hmm. Our pet of the day comes to us from Cat Angels NC. 4-year-old Mozart is a very friendly and playful boy. He loves attention and will seek you out if you come to visit him. Just give him a scratch or a pet on the head. He will be your friend forever. He gets along well with other cats, but he would love to be able to go home with one of his brothers. Find out if he's musically talented like his name. Like all the cats at Cat Angels, he's neutered, microchipped, fully vaccinated. If you would like to visit Mozart in person, fill out an application on the Cat Angels website.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app.
And a live look right now at a rally getting ready to go off downtown Raleigh on the abortion bill.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.